turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Corinthians chapter 11, we begin with verse 1. Be my imitators, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you that in all things ye are mindful of me, and that as I have directed you, ye keep the directions. But I wish you to know that for Christ is the head of every man, but woman's head is the man, and the Christ's head, God. Every man praying or prophesying, having anything on his head, put his head to shame. But every woman praying or prophesying with her head uncovered, puts her own head to shame, for it is one and the same as a shaved woman. For if a woman be not covered, let her hair also be cut off. But if it be shameful to a woman to have her hair cut off or to be shaved, let her be covered. For man indeed ought not to have his head covered, being God's image and glory. But woman is man's glory. For man is not of woman, but woman of man. For also man was not created for the sake of the woman, but woman for the sake of the man. Therefore ought the woman to have authority on her head, on account of the angels. However, neither is woman without man, nor man without woman in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, so also is the man by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourself, is it calmly that a woman should pray to God uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that man, if he has long hair, it is a disgrace, dishonor to him? But woman, if she has long hair, it is glory to her, for the long hair is given to her in lieu of a veil. But if anyone thinks to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor the churches of God. We have been fellowshipping these few times on some very important principles. That need to be applied to the various issues of life. We mentioned first about this matter of discipline. How the Church of God today needs this principle and application of discipline. It is discipline that really establishes the church. Then we mentioned this morning about Christian conduct, how we should conduct ourselves towards one another, and the various principles that govern our conduct. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but Paul says, I am not under the power of anything. We do all things to the glory of God. Do not give any occasion for stumbling to the brothers and sisters. But all things are lawful, and not all things edify. And these principles should govern our conduct, our relationship with one another. And tonight we want to enter into another very important basic principle of life. And that is a matter of divine order. We are not going to enter into this matter of head covering. You know, when Paul mentions this matter of head covering, he mentions it on the basis of a principle. It is out of that principle that he talks about this matter of head covering. Now, of course, concerning this matter of head covering, there are many, many opinions. Some said this is a Corinthian habit. Which it cannot be. Because if it is a habit among the Corinthians, why should Paul be bothered to even mention to them? Because they have that custom already. Now other people say it is a Jewish custom. But we know among the Jews, the men cover their head, not the women, in the synagogue. And the church is not Judaism. So it is impossible for Paul to impose Jewish custom upon Gentile believers. That is entirely contrary to Paul's ways. But as I say, we are not tonight enter into this matter of head covering. But we would like to go back to this vital, basic principle. Which can be applied not only to this matter of head covering, but this principle is much, much bigger than head covering. And it is the principle of divine order. So our emphasis tonight will be on verse 3. Christ is the head of every man. Man is the head of woman. And God is the head of Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, our God is a God of order. He does not believe in disorder. Everything he does is of order. When you think of God created this earth, if you read the first chapter of the book of Genesis, you find when God created this world, he created everything after its kind. And by after its kind, it simply means everything has its order. For instance, on the third day, God said, let the earth cause grass to spring up, herbs producing seed, fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind, the seed of which is in them on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, herb producing seed after its kind, and trees yielding fruit, the seed of which is in them after their kind. Whether it is herb, or whether it is fruit bearing tree, you find everything is after its kind. There is a definite order. Then on the fifth day, God created the great sea monsters and every living soul that moves with which the waters swarm after their kind, and every winged fowl after their kind. And God saw that it was good. Whether it is the sea monster or the fishes, each after its kind, or the fowls of the air, the birds of the air, after its kind. Then on the sixth day, let the earth bring forth living souls after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind. All the living animals on the earth were created after their kind. A definite order. And at the very end of the last day, 6 days, God created man, because man belonged to another order. So you will find that God is a God of order. When he created the universe, he created everything after its kind, according to its order. And especially in the creation of man. The Bible said God created man after his own image. In his own image, he created him. Male and female created he them. In other words, man in the original thought of God is a corporate being. In the original thought of God, according to God's image, man is composed of male and female. He created them. So far as God's original thought is concerned, there is no inequality between man and woman, because with male and female, God created his man. Today we sometimes say she is the better part, or the other is the worse part. But scripturally speaking, there is no worse part or better part. They are equal parts. God created man with equal parts, the male and the female. They are equal. So far as God's original design is concerned, so far as life is concerned, they are equal. And yet, in the process of creating man, you find there is a difference of time. Man, the male, was first created, and the female followed. Why? Because the female was created to be the helpmeet of the male. In other words, so far as the image is concerned, so far as life is concerned, the man and the woman are equal. But so far as God's work and function, the function of each is concerned, there is an order. So let's remember that this divine order is not a matter of life. This divine order is a matter of function. And for this reason, God created man first, because man is to be the head of the family, and the woman is to be the body, is to be the support, is to be the helmet. And with the cooperation of man and woman, God's work that is entrusted to man as a corporate being will be realized. So, brothers and sisters, you'll find in the very creation of man, there is an order there. And if this order is kept, there is not only protection, but there will be the performance of God's word. Satan. Is the source of this order. He hates order. Therefore, you'll find Satan came into the Garden of Eden. Instead of going to Adam, he went to Eve. He knew there was a divine order there. And if the divine order was kept, there was no way for him to attack man. Therefore, he did not go to Adam. He went to Eve. Somehow, we don't know why, Adam and Eve were separated at that moment. So Satan tempted Eve and said, if you eat this forbidden fruit, you will be as wise as God. You will know. You don't need God anymore. You will be God yourself. And the result is, Eve, instead of keeping her place in the divine order, instead of going to Adam, she made her decision. In other words, she took a false position of headship. She took the initiative. She ate the forbidden fruit and she gave it to her husband to eat. Here you'll find the divine order was reversed. And because the divine order was interrupted, the whole world entered into chaos. But thank God. Redemption comes to this world. You know, we often think of redemption in terms of our personal, individual benefits. And that is true. We were once dead in sins and transgressions, and yet God redeemed us. Our sins are forgiven. We are given new life. Now that is true. But let us remember, when you really come to the work of redemption of our Lord Jesus, actually, redemption is far more than just something personal. Redemption goes way back. Redemption is for the purpose of restoring God's original design in creation. Purpose in creation. So in the redemption of our Lord Jesus, you find that this order that has been overturned is to be brought back in the church. In the world, you see this order. In the world, you cannot expect the divine order to be established. But in the church, the redeemed of the Lord, that's where the order is to be restored. And this is the reason why you'll find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there is the mentioning of this divine order. Paul uses this matter of head covering just as an illustration. If we argue about head covering and forget that divine principle of order, we miss the whole point. Because Paul based everything upon this principle of divine order. If we can see this divine order, then, brothers and sisters, many things are easily solved. Anyway, there is a divine order. And this divine order must be seen in the church. You know, in all spiritual things, you have to go back to Christ. Christ is the foundation of all spiritual things. If we try to solve this matter of the divine order between man and woman without seeing Christ, we won't be able to solve it. And even if we may do it, it is technical, mechanical, legal, and it is not spiritual. Everything spiritual has to find its origin in Christ. So in this matter of divine order, we have to go way back beyond man and woman. We have to go back to Christ. Because it is in Christ that we find the foundation of divine order. Aside from Christ, there is no order. Everything is disorder. It is only in Christ that there is a divine order. So Paul, in his presentation of this divine order, he bases everything upon Christ. He said, the head of Christ is God. For the time being, let us forget about man and woman. Let us go back to Christ. Before the Son of God came to this world, he is equal with God. God the Father and God the Son are one. God the Father and God the Son are equal. There is no sense of inferiority or superiority. There is no sense of who is superior and who is inferior. No. It does not exist in the Godhead. God the Father and God the Son are one, and they are equal. That's why we say it is not a matter of inequality. So far as life is concerned, God the Son and God the Father share the same life in the Spirit. Completely the same. The same. But for the sake of God's purpose, plan, and work, the Son offered himself to the Father to come to this world to be Christ. Christ simply means the anointed one. And we know in the Old Testament who is anointed. One is anointed for a special purpose. One may be anointed to be a king, or may be anointed to be a prophet, or may be anointed to be a priest. In other words, it is a matter of function. It is a matter of fulfilling a function. And because there is a tremendous need there, God needs to redeem the man, the people that he has created. So the Son offered himself to the Father to come to this world to become a man, to be Christ, to be sent, to be anointed for a special purpose, to accomplish a special work. When the Son of God comes to this earth to become a man, to be Christ, immediately you find a divine order is set up. As Christ, he takes God at his head. As the Son of God and the Son of and the Father in eternity, they are one. But as Christ, he takes, voluntarily takes an inferior place, a lower position, and he accepts the Father at his head, God at his head. Of course, to do that, he had to empty himself. If he does not empty himself, he couldn't do that. But he emptied himself. And he took upon himself the form of a slave. And being made the likeness of a man, he further humbled himself, becoming obedient to the Father, even unto death, and that the death of the cross. Brothers and sisters, this is the story of Christ. You know, today we think of Christ only in certain area, and that is Christ. He is the glorious Christ. He has come to accomplish God's purpose. But there is another area of Christ, and that is, as Christ, he learned not to be his own head. He learns to cover his head before God. Why? Because there can be only one head. So in a sense, our Lord Jesus as Christ covers his head before God, in order that God may be his head. And if you read the Gospel, especially the Gospel according to John, you find what a life he lives as Christ. He said, I cannot do anything by myself. I do it because I have seen my Father doing it. I cannot say anything by myself. I say it because I have heard my Father have said it. It is not my will, but my Father's will. My time is not in my hand. My time is in my Father's hand. Here you'll find throughout the life of Christ, there is one thing that is persistently true, and that is, he always refuses to be his own head. His head is always covered, because he has taken his Father, his God, as his head. You remember the temptation in the wilderness. Satan came to tempt him. And he said, now if you are the Son of God, you can turn the stone into bread. If you are the Son of God, you can jump down from the temple pinnacle. Everybody will see someone descending from heaven, and they will believe you as Christ, as Messiah right away. You don't need to go to the cross. And certainly God will take care of you. He will not let you be smashed. He will send his angel to hold your feet. Oh, if you worship me, I'll give you the whole nations, the whole world. In other words, Satan was trying to tempt Christ to be his own boss, his own head. If Christ should act on his own, he will be disqualified. He will be disqualified. But thank God, it can never happen. Oh, how our Lord Jesus answered, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If God has not commanded me to turn the stone into bread, even if I'm starving, I won't do that. He who is able to multiply 5 loaves and two fishes to feed the 5,000, he refused to turn the stone into bread for his own. Oh, how his own brethren tempted him. If you want to make famous of yourself, don't stay and hide yourself in Nazareth. Go to Jerusalem during the feast. That's where the people are. Show yourself to them, and they will acclaim you as the Christ. Why don't you do that? And our Lord Jesus said, your time is always ready, but mine is not. I have to wait for my Father. I cannot do things according to what I think is right and good. No. Brothers and sisters, this is Christ. This is Christ. This is an aspect of Christ that sometimes we overlook. God is the head of Christ. Oh, how our Lord Jesus always has his head covered as Christ before God. You cannot have two heads, you know. If you have two heads, there will be chaos. There will be struggle. And things cannot be done. Therefore, for the work of God to be accomplished on earth, Christ must subject himself to God. Oh, the Son has to learn obedience. Through the things he suffered, that he may be the author of our eternal salvation. Now, brothers and sisters, here you'll find a divine order established. Throughout the world, there is this order. This order between God and man has been overturned from the days of Adam until now. So far as the order between God and man is concerned, it has been overturned. Man has rebelled against God. Man tries to be his own head. But in this man, in Christ, the divine order is restored. And because this divine order is restored in Christ, therefore he has become the source of our salvation. And then you find Christ is the head of all men. The all men here in the first place refer to those who are redeemed. Why? Because to those who are not redeemed, not yet redeemed, they will not accept Christ as their head. You remember when Christ was on earth? How they cry out, "We do not want this man. We do not want this man to be our king. Away with him. Away with him. Crucify him. We don't want him. We want to be our own head." But to all who are redeemed, Christ is the head of all man. And the man here is not the word used to differentiate man from woman. The man here includes man and woman, male and female. It is mankind. In a sense, here you'll find Christ is the head of all men. He is the head of every one of those whom he has redeemed. Now, brothers and sisters, this divine order is established step by step. The foundation is Christ. God is the head of Christ. And then upon that foundation, you find another step is built. And that is Christ is the head of all men. Whether you are a brother or you are a sister, Christ is your head. This is an order that has to be restored and established. You know, with many believers, even though they have believed in Christ, in accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior, and yet they have not yet accepted Jesus as their Christ, as their Lord. They are saved, and yet they still are their own head. They have not covered their head. Now, I'm not talking about the sign upon the head now. I'm talking about the reality. Many believers, even though they are saved, said to say they have not yielded their lives to Christ. They have not covered their head before Christ. They have not yet taken Christ as their head. In other words, they have not yet come to a point to see that they are only a body. The head is Christ. You know something, I don't know whether I'm overstretching it or not. But you remember in Psalm 40, it's a messianic psalm. And David, he is projecting to the one who is greater than David. And he says, offerings and sacrifice you do not want. But you have prepared me a body. Lo, I come to do your will. And your law is written upon my heart, is my delight. Here you'll find it is said of Christ that God has prepared him a body. And what is this body for? This body is to do the will of God. Now, where is the head? God is the head. God is the head. You know, this is what our body is. Why do we have a body? Our body is to do the will of the head. That's what our body is for. So here you'll find this is literally fulfilled in Christ, because in the body of Christ, as he walks on earth, he does the will of the head, his Father. In Romans chapter 12, Paul exhorts us, saying that, brethren, by the compassions of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Here again you find the word body or bodies is mentioned. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Why? Because this body, as it is presented to Christ, is to do the will of Christ. Is to accept Christ as its head. The body is not to be the head. The body is to do the will of the head. But dear brothers and sisters, many believers have never presented their bodies a living sacrifice. They still live for their own sake. They do their own will. They seek their own pleasure. In other words, this divine order is yet to be established in them. But remember, this is part of God's redemption. The redemptive work of Christ has not only brought in forgiveness of sin, has not only brought in eternal life, but the redemptive work of Christ has also brought in the divine order. And if we have accepted Christ, then this divine order must be established in our lives. Whether you are a brother or a sister, a man or a woman. Because Christ said, of all men, oh, every one of us needs to hold fast the head. And if we all hold fast the head, then the whole body will be fitly framed and rightly joined. And each part will function according to the gift that God has given to the building up of the body in love. When you see a brother and sister who is not taking Christ as his head, who is trying to stick up his head, you know what happens. Immediately, disorder, chaos, confusion is brought into the church. That's the reason why it is so, so important that we must learn to have our head covered before Christ. We must learn to yield ourselves to Christ and say, now, Lord, you are the head. Not me, but you. And it's only when we are covered before God, before Christ, you have the divine order. And when there is divine order, there is peace. There is peace. Now this is the second step in this matter of divine order being established. Then upon this second step, which is based on the foundation of the first step, Christ head is God. And Christ is the head of all men. Then on this step, you find another step is built. And that is, man is the head of the woman. Christ is the head of all men. Christ is the head of the brother as well as of the sister. Christ is the head of the male as well as of the female. Everyone cover his or her head before Christ. But on that basis, you'll find another is built, and that is, man is the head of the woman. Is there any inequality in it? No. Because so far as life is concerned, a man and a woman, a brother or a sister, they are equal. Because so far as life is concerned, a man and a woman, a brother or a sister, they are equal. You remember in Galatians it is said, chapter 3, we are one in Christ. We are all clothed with Christ. There is neither male nor female. You know, there is a difference here. In 1 Corinthians, it says, there is neither Jews nor Gentiles, neither freeman nor bondman. In Colossians, it says, neither Scythians or barbarians, circumcised or uncircumcised, But only in Galatians it said neither male or female. Why? Because in Galatians, Paul is not talking about the church. Paul is talking about Christ. In Christ, so far as life is concerned, there is no male and female. It is the same life of Christ. The life that is in you is the same as the life that is in me. Christ that is in you is the same as the Christ as in me. Whether you are a brother or you are a sister, it is the same life. So in Christ there is neither male nor female. Equal. Therefore a dear brother said, male brother or female brother? We are all brothers. You know, sometimes I find some difficulty. I hesitate very much to speak on these things, you know. If I am a sister, I feel freer to talk about these things. But I have no choice. Here you will find, so far as life is concerned, there is no difference whatsoever. There is perfect equality. It is not necessarily that a man, it is not that a man must be more spiritual than a woman. Not at all. A sister can be more spiritual than a brother. Why? The grace of God is open to all. Whoever seek Him more will get more. If you are a sister who is seeking after God, who loves God with your whole heart, surely you will have a greater measure of grace. Not because you are a sister, therefore, you must have a less measure of grace. Not so. There is no partiality here. It is perfect equality. So far as life is concerned, brothers and sisters, it is equal. It is equal. And praise God, in the history of the church, you find more sisters that are than brothers. But so far as being the church is concerned, that is to say, when you come down to function, when you come down to task, the church on earth has a work to be done. The church on earth is entrusted with a mission, with a work to do. And when you come down to this matter of function in the church, there are men and women. Again, I will repeat, it is not a matter of life. It is a matter of function. There is an order that governs function. In order that we may function well, God set an order in the church. So I do hope that when we are talking about this matter, the sense of superiority or inferiority never comes in. We should not allow this thought to come in. It is for the sake of God's work. Christ willingly takes a lower position. It is for the sake of the glory of God that a woman in the church voluntarily, willingly takes the supporting part instead of the leading part. Now that's the order. It is for the sake of completing the function of the church. in the beginning, in creation, God set Adam as the head of the family, and Eve as the helpmeet. And with the cooperation of both, God commissioned to man is to be fulfilled. But unfortunately, this order is broken. And because this order was broken, man was not able to fulfill God's mission, commission. Not able to. And that's the reason why you find in the redemptive work of Christ, he is to restore this order. He is to restore this order not only in the family, but in the church too. Because the church is the family of God. A brother, according to God's order, God put a man, a brother, as the head, as the leading part. But no man, no brother, is able to perform his function rightly if he is not covered before Christ. In other words, here you'll find a seal of covering. Christ covers his head before God. And under this covering, he is able to fulfill the work that God has entrusted him. And then you'll find the man will cover himself under Christ. And it's only when he is covered under Christ, he is able to fulfill his function as the head of the family, as the leading part in the church. You know, the topic today is, I like to say something about brothers, and I feel very free to say that. The problem with brother is, I'm the head. You know, when you come to certain, when you're cornered, may I say that? When you're cornered, you have a weapon. And the weapon you use is on the head. Brothers and sisters, is this the way to be the head? I'm afraid when you claim yourself to be the head, you lose your authority. You lose this respect. Look at Christ. He is the head of the church. But does our Lord Jesus impose himself upon the church and I'm the head? No. He loved the church and gave himself for the church. And in his sacrificial love, he proves his headship. It is in love that his authority is manifested. It is in love that conquers us. So we gladly submit to him. Brothers and sisters, this spirit of arrogance, of pride, proud of a position, never comes into the church. Should never come into the church. Because if we are under authority, we can exercise authority. If we are not under authority, we have no right to exercise authority. Oh, if the brothers will really be covered, have their heads covered. Do not stick up their heads, but have their heads covered before Christ. God's order is you shall have the leading part in the church. Do not draw back. It is God's order. By His grace, you should be faithful. But remember, under the headship of Christ. Okay. Because it's a series. You cannot break it. It is continuous. Unfortunately, or fortunately, the sign of authority falls upon the woman. Why? Because man in the church represents Christ. And in representing Christ, he cannot cover his head. How can we cover Christ? So far as the church is concerned, Christ is the head. So, the head cannot be covered. But the woman in the church represents the church. And as representing the church, there is a sign of authority. In other words, has the head covered. I remember dear Brother Me says, he said, when a brother sees a sister having her head covered, it reminds him he needs to be covered before Christ. So he said, it is a privilege to the sisters. God uses the sisters to remind the brothers. Now I am taking my place. How about you? Are you taking your place? Your order? In the divine order? And brothers and sisters, you know, when that order is established, the church is there is strength. There is peace. Now, of course, this divine order is not given to us as a rule or a regulation. Why? Because if it is a rule or a regulation, the inevitable result will be either it is rejected or it will be kept, but only technically, mechanically, and legalistically. And the latter kills. Here you find a very important principle of divine order. But brothers and sisters, don't take it as letter. Do not reject it because you don't like it, nor you accept it and practice it mechanically or technically. No, it will be dead. It will be dead. But this divine order is a principle. And if we will accept this principle with an open and humble spirit, the Holy Spirit will lead us in its application. And when that application comes forth, it is spiritual, living, and edifying. Edifying. I am not talking about head covering tonight. I'm talking about something far bigger than head covering. Because head covering is only one of the many things. Just to show, to manifest this divine order. I am talking of in this universe. The divine order is shattered. Therefore, nothing can be built. But in the church, as the redeemed of the Lord. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need to see this divine order. And by His grace and through His Spirit, we must enter into it. Enter into it. And when it is entered, you find there is building. There is work to be done. God's purpose will be realized. Finally, because it is a divine order, and this divine order is the order of life, not an order of organization. You know, you can organize and have an order, just like in an institution. How can an institution work? They have to set up an order. An order of command. They have their rules and regulations, laws and bylaws. And everyone is clearly defined as to his privilege and his duties. And everyone is given a certain area of responsibility. Then you know the chain of command there. In other words, you have to set up an order in order to keep the organization operating. If you have an organization and there is no order, there is no defining of what is the work of the executive, the work of the secretary or the treasurer, and so on and so forth, then how can that organization run? You cannot accomplish anything. Now, this is one way to set up an order. But dear brothers and sisters, in the church, it is a spiritual order of life. Just like our body, there is an order here, but it is not organized. It is organic. It is organic. As we yield ourselves to Christ, take Him as our head, we will fall into place, our rightful place. There will be that organic order gradually appearing. Do not go out and try to organize it. Do not go out and try to set it up. The church is an organism, not an organization. That is, we can see this divine order and all learn to walk in this divine order, you'll find organically this order will be set up. And when this order is set up, there is peace, there is strength. The church in Corinth is a church of this order. Why? Because they have not seen this divine principle of order. So Paul said, I wish you to know that. I wish you to know that. God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of all men. And man is the head of woman. Lord, we are touching something which is vital to thy work on earth, but we are touching something that is very touching. So Lord, we just ask thee to cover us with the precious blood. We ask thee that thou will put our flesh under the cross. We pray that thy Spirit shall open our eyes to see this divine order. And may thy Holy Spirit apply it. do not allow us to go out and set to order. But Lord, may thy Holy Spirit bring this divine order. So that thy church may have peace, may be strengthened, that Christ may have his headship in the church. O Lord, it has to come from thee, because thou art the source of divine order. O Lord, we trust ourselves to thee. Bless our brothers and sisters in thy precious name. Amen.
Amen.